Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew chapter 28. Let's look at verse 1. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. What exciting news you can imagine for these ladies. Here, their Savior had died, the one that they loved so much. And in their sorrow and in their love and respect for him, they came to the sepulcher, and you can read in the other Gospels how they had brought and prepared and brought spices to anoint his body and so on. And it does speak to us a little bit of the fact that they didn't truly fully believe that Jesus would rise from the dead, else they would not have been bringing spices to anoint his body because he wouldn't be there. So it does speak to us a little bit about that. But you can imagine the great joy and the exciting news that this was for these women, that Jesus is not here, as the angel said, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He invited them to come and see. When they saw and understood, the Bible says that they went and did as the angel had said. In verse 8, they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. Exciting news that Jesus is alive. But you know, that is news that is still exciting, should be, and it's a message that we need to hear and be reminded of and share again and again and again. It's news that should cause rejoicing. Amen. We don't have a has-been Jesus. He's alive. He's alive today. And if you're saved, you are here today because somewhere along the way, you heard the glorious news that Jesus Christ is alive and you believed it. That's why you're here. If you don't believe that, then you aren't saved. Because that is part of the gospel, believing that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I was witnessing to a man once. He had sat through lots of preaching. He was convicted of his need of salvation. He responded. I was dealing with him privately, and we were working back through the gospel and working back through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we got to that verse in Romans that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, hold up. I don't believe that. That Jesus is alive, that he rose from the grave. That's not possible." And I looked at him and I said, "Sir, then there's no possible chance that you can ever be saved." It's true. And so what I'm saying here is that we don't have a has-been Jesus. He's alive. And you're here today if you're saved because at some point You believe that truth. You believe that message that Jesus Christ is alive today. That news that he's alive gives you and I hope. Amen? The hope of his resurrection. And again, that word hope, it's not hope so, it's not maybe so. It is confident expectation. It absolutely will happen. And I'm confident of it. It gives us hope that when we pass from this life, we'll be forever with the Lord. The hope of his resurrection should fill your heart with joy because Jesus is alive. And we could say hallelujah to that, amen? The angel gave a message of good news. But that's not really what I want to focus on this morning, this afternoon, rather. I ate a lot of good food. I'm starting to get into a food coma, so I'm not sure what time of day it is. I know that you will too, very shortly. So I'm sure I'll be speaking to myself up here in just a little bit. Don't let it overtake you. You all know. So try to pay attention. I'll try to be brief. And I want to actually focus not so much on the fact that it's good news that should bring rejoicing, but I want to focus on the fact that that message carries some personal responsibility with it. There were some commands that went along with the good news that Jesus is alive. He's not here. He's risen. And I want us to look at some of those in this passage this afternoon. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Lord, I pray that you'd help us with your word again and give us understanding, and Lord, speak to us through it, that we might know your will, that we might do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at verse 7, first of all. So you know the story here. We don't have to go back and read it all. But these ladies came to the tomb. They came to anoint his body. They had questions of how's the stone going to be rolled away. You can read about that in other parallel passages in the other Gospels. But what they found was that there was an angel who appeared unto them in verse 5. And the angel said, "Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." And here is verse 7. "And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." We're going to consider the commands of this good news. The message of the resurrection is actually filled with commands for the saint of God. Once these ladies had experienced the resurrection, that Jesus truly was alive, that he wasn't there, once they had come in and once they had seen that it was just as Jesus said, then they were commanded to go and to tell. Sadly, that is missing from so much of today's Christianity. The message of the resurrection has ceased to touch people's hearts, compelling them to go and tell. There was a British minister long ago. His name was, or his initials were W.E. His last name was Sangster. This British minister contracted an incurable disease that slowly caused his muscles to waste away. His voice began to fail. His throat had become so swollen that it was making it impossible for him to swallow. And yet he continued on in ministry right up until the point where his voice had gone completely and he could barely even hold a pen. One morning, though, just a few weeks before he died, he wrote in a letter to his daughter, and he said these words, "It's a terrible thing to wake up Resurrection Sunday and have no voice with which to shout, 'He is risen.' But it would be still a more terrible thing to have a voice and not want to shout, 'He is risen.'" The commands of the good news. What are the commands here? First of all, we find that there was a command to depart. Verse 7 says that the angel said, "And go quickly." The angelic message here is an imperative message. An imperative message means it's a call for action. It's a call for engagement on our part. The angel says to the ladies, you need to go. Are we living as though our Lord is risen and living within our hearts? Are we sharing the message that he lives with others? Or are we sort of just hanging around the sepulcher, if you understand what I mean? They had the message that Jesus Christ was alive. And the message and the command was, go, you need to tell what has happened. Not hang around the tomb, not hang around the sepulcher, but go and share the news. But you know what? So often, that's exactly what we do. We have the message that he is alive, that he is risen, but we just sort of hang around. And not share the message that he is alive, not to linger near the tomb, but we're to take the good news that the tomb is empty and that Jesus lives, and we're to take that into the entire world. Preach the gospel to every creature. The resurrection is part of the gospel. Amen. The message of the resurrection, it calls us to action, friend. It calls us to engage in the work of the risen Lord. So first of all, there was a command to depart. But secondly, then there was a command to deliver. The angel said, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. A command to deliver. He says, go quickly and tell. The word quickly here literally means without delay. Go quickly. Right now, without delay, these women were commanded to go with a sense of urgency, spreading the good news that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And that message is still the message of this hour, friend. Come, see. See for yourself. And when you do, then go quickly and tell. The message that we've been given is an urgent message. It is a message that should not have any delay. Why is it an urgent message? Number one, because people are dying. It's an urgent message because people are dying. Thousands die daily without knowing the risen Lord. It's imperative and it's urgent that they hear the news that Jesus Christ is alive. It's urgent that they know that he lives, so that they can live also. Do you know what the birth rate in the world is? I looked it up. And they say that there are about 128.9 million births every year. That means every second of every day, 4 babies are born into the world. However many seconds that just passed, 4 babies every single second are born into this world. Every single one of those babies comes into this world a lost sinner in need of a Savior. We know Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that the Bible says that a baby comes forth from the womb speaking lies. We know that Romans 5 and verse 12 says that as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's the birth rate. But you know what the death rate is? Every year, 57.9 million people die in this world. That means that every second of every day, 2 people go out into eternity. Every single second. And that rate is increasing. 110 people every minute. 6,619 people every hour. 158,850 people every single day slide off into eternity. And by the time that I'm finished preaching here this afternoon, almost 5,000 people will have gone out into eternity. Most of them are probably going to die without Christ. Paul said, some have not the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I speak this to your shame. People need to hear the gospel, amen? Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They need to hear, and they need to hear today, because 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And they need you to tell them. Look at Mark chapter 5 with me. Hold your place here and just look at Mark 5. In verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, what is that in the context of? Well, it's in the context of the maniac of Gadara, or the man who is possessed with the devil. How Jesus went across the lake for one person, and that person was a wild and a crazy person who was uncontrollable. And then Jesus came along, and Jesus met him, and the Bible says that Jesus cast the demons out, and he was sitting, he was clothed, he was in his right mind. His life was completely changed, and when it was all said and done, he had seen the Lord. Guess what he did? Well, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Do you feel compelled to do the same thing? Tell how great things Jesus has done for you? Or is it the tendency to sort of just hang around the tomb? You understand what I'm getting at by that? We get into our church, and we get into our family, and we get into all of our functions and our fellowships and all of our meals and all of our routines, and we do all of those things, and we're a close-knit family. We do all of that, and it's good and it's right, but we can't just hang around. People are dying. Secondly, people are deceived. Many are deceived, and they worship a God that doesn't even exist, a small g God. They've been blinded by Satan, who's the master counterfeiter, who transforms himself into an angel of light. And the only hope that they have is hearing the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have the time to look at all of these different passages of Scripture, but you know them. How Acts 4:12 says that there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way. And yet there are people who are deceived in their religion, who feel like they're doing the right thing, and somehow all that's going to merit them favor with God, and they're going to experience some utopia, some heaven of some sort. And they're deceived. Sincerely deceived. Do you know what? Our job is not to save people. Our job is to go and tell people. Our job is simply to go and share the message. And when they hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, we can also trust that the Spirit of God is going to convict them and to draw them to Jesus Christ. That was the promise that the Lord gave, that His Spirit would convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. And Romans 10 and verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We simply need to give it. And Jesus said, if I would be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. You know, every body of every deceased leader and founder of every major religion in this world is in a tomb somewhere today. But you can search every tomb in the land of Israel, and you'll never find the bones or the dust of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's alive. We know the Lord lives. Yes, we do. But it's our duty then to take that gospel to those who are living without our Savior. We've got dying neighbors. We've got dying family members. We've got deceived family members who need the message. Amen. The third reason is that people are despondent. People are dying. People are deceived. People are despondent. You notice in our text how the angel said to the ladies in verse 7, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Go and tell his disciples. The disciples at this point in time were pretty despondent. After the days of Jesus Christ, he died, he was crucified. Again, their hopes, their dreams gone. What do we find them doing in the scriptures? The book of John tells us that they hid themselves behind locked doors in fear. They were afraid because they thought that what happened to Jesus Christ probably was going to happen to them. It was imperative that the message would be shared with them, these despondent souls, that they might be stirred in their own spirit out of their despondency, that the Lord lives just like he said he would. He promised it to you. He fulfilled it. It's happened just like he said. You can believe it. Here's the application. People who do not know the Lord have no hope in their soul, and they need to hear the gospel of salvation through the grace of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, because the gospel is a message that brings hope to all who would hear it, if it's received by faith. Go over to Luke chapter 23. We're talking about this thought of hope for despondent souls. Luke 23, in verse 39, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Can you imagine the joy and the relief of soul that this man must have experienced when he heard those words of Jesus? This guy had no hope. No hope for himself otherwise. There was no recourse. He was hanging on a cross. He was dying. He was about to go out into eternity. He was there because of his sin. There was nothing left for him. He was a despondent soul. But you imagine this. I just was thinking about this, and I was like, man, the amazing grace of God for this man. The providence of God for this man. He had lived a life of crime. He had lived a life that led him to this very place of despair. And yet, here he is, hanging next to the Savior of the world. After an entire life of crime and sin, he's going to pay the price. He's going to experience the punishment for his crimes. And the grace of God and the providence of God that he would be the one hanging right next to the Savior of the world. And all he had to do was believe. And Jesus said, today, when you die, you're going to be with me in paradise. Can you imagine the relief of soul and the joy of his soul when he had no hope? What a gracious God. Amen. A place of despair. The thief on the cross had no hope. He needed to hear the message. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and it brought hope for his soul. The command of the resurrection, it's imperative. And it needs to be without delay to go and to tell, because it brings a message of hope. But secondly, I want you to go back in our text here, and we'll briefly look at this. Matthew chapter 28, the second part of verse 7, and then into verse 8. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Here we find the confidence of the good news. We saw the commands of this good news, but here's the confidence of the good news. Those ladies who heard the angel's message, who came and saw that the tomb was empty, and then they went and told, or to go tell like they were commanded to do, they were given a wonderful promise here. Because the angel said, go tell my disciples, or the disciples, that he's risen from the dead. But here's what the angel said. Behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. What a wonderful promise that was. The promise, first of all, that the Lord precedes them. The Lord precedes them. And I hope you understand where we're going with this. We've got a responsibility to go and tell. But guess what? We don't have to go alone. The Lord precedes us. He goeth before you. We can spread the news of the risen Lord because he goes before us. Because he walks before us. Because he guides us. Because he instructs us. He lives in us. Listen, we can accomplish things because of him, but he's already working in the hearts and the lives of those that we go tell. He goes before us. He's working ahead of us. Preparing the way, preparing people to hear what we've got to say about him. I just rejoice in the fact that, number one, I'm saved. Number two, I get to be a part of a New Testament church. Then number three, we have purpose because Jesus Christ said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we have a purpose and a meaning for life. But number four, we don't have to do it on our own power. We don't have to do it alone. Jesus said in Matthew 28, he's here at the end of the passage, he says in verse 18, all power, that's authority, is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Acts 1:8 says, ye shall receive power. That's dunamis, dynamite, ability. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I'm so glad I have purpose, but I'm also so glad that I don't have to minister alone. Or within my own power. Because he goes with me, he enables me to do all that he's commanded me to do. Amen? We ought to rejoice in that. confidence in the good news that, number one, the Lord preceded them, but secondly, the Lord presents himself to them. Notice here that the angel said, "There ye shall see him." And then in verse 9, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. And then in verse 10, Jesus said unto them, "Be not afraid, go tell my brethren, and there shall they see me." They ran to spread the news. They did run with great joy, but they also ran to see him. Do you notice verse 9, how they came to him and they held him by the feet and they worshiped him? As they were running to go and tell, it wasn't long and they ran right into him. I would simply say this. One day, we're going to see the risen Lord face to face. We serve him with gladness and joy today because we know that we're going to see him in glory someday. We're confident of that. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, Paul said, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." We serve with joy, we serve with gladness because we know we're headed somewhere and we know that when we get there, we're going to be with him. Because Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen? I want to serve him for what he's done for me. I want to serve him with the sure knowledge as well that I'm going to meet him, that I'm going to stand before him. How about you? I'll close with this. The Bible says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. The greatest news that you and I ever could hear, the most exciting news that anybody else could hear, is that God loves them, Jesus Christ died for them, that he rose again, that they might have eternal life. He'll save their soul if you come to him. That's the best news you and I ever heard. If you're saved here this afternoon, ask yourself this question. And I'll finish with this. Am I living like I really believe in the resurrection? Am I living today like I really believe in the resurrection? How long has it been since you thanked the Lord for being alive? Number one. And then number two, since you told somebody about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you challenge our hearts today. Thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Lord, compel us with your truth. And may we respond in obedience. There may be some who understand and know these simple truths that we're to be witnesses. We know that. If we're saved and we know the Lord, if we're a member of a New Testament church, we're commanded to give the gospel. And we know it. But so often we don't obey it or live it. And I pray, Lord, that you just compel us with the truth. But may we be so joyful and so excited in our soul for what you've done for us that we have to go and tell people how great things the Lord has done for us. Lord, may you lay this at our heart's door today. And we're thankful that Jesus Christ is alive today. That someday we're going to see him. But Lord, in the meantime, help us to have the heart and the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And tell the good news. In Jesus' name, amen.